On today's episode of The Breakaway, presented by Los Rios Community College District, play-by-play announcer Rob McAllister joins the podcast to discuss the opening night draw, the positives, Trevor Ammons' outstanding start to the season, and what that means going into week two and week three. That's all coming up on today's episode of The Breakaway. Today's episode of The Breakaway is brought to you by UC Davis Health, where care goes beyond hospital and clinic walls to advance health and wellness. Because better health takes more than healthcare, it's having access to healthy food, supporting communities, and believing in better. Learn more at believe.ucdavis.edu. At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams and advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you.
All right, we're excited to recap week one match. Rob McAllister is here, number one USL championship broadcast guy with Adam Moffitt. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. You know, this is just a running joke for everyone, but we definitely were number one. I don't know if we make the numbers public, but then I know other clubs have tried to claim it, and it was like we've done like twice as much as them. But that's okay. Hey. The league is growing. I do love that the viewer overall is great. So it's just fun.
Well, yeah. Louisville said that they were the number one based on like some website that said so, and we have the actual data that we were told not to make public. And then as soon as they did that, I was like, yeah, forget that. We're not dealing with that anymore. So, all right, Rob. So hey, a fun week one match. Obviously, a tough ending for Sacramento. But just you know, there's a lot we can talk about from this match. Obviously, Trevor Ammon was the star. What are some of your takeaways from week one?
So I think Sacramento came out feeling good because of the preseason they had. I also think it hurt them in this game a little bit. Orange County did not have a good preseason. And while I think we dominated the ball, I think at times Orange County looked mentally sharper. And ultimately, I think that's what led to it leading to a 2-2 draw. I think our defensive play in the open field is best in the USL. We're almost impossible to break down. You have to go back to the Phoenix Western Conference game. It took a wondrous goal to beat us there. You look at opening night, it took two set pieces and something that hasn't happened, but only three times in the last 13 years for them to ultimately get a point. So to me, I think that overall our play is really good, but mentally, this actually might be a bonus. So where I'm going with this is that I think it was great to be at home. The guys were charged up, but I don't know if it really felt like the regular season quite yet. And I think had they rolled into a victory here, going to Miami right in week two, which we've never done on such a trip, I don't know if it really felt like the season has quite started yet. It just would have started to feel. I think this was a great wake-up call. Now, obviously, you won 3 points. Don't get me wrong. That's stupid. But at least you get the point. And now you go, oh, it's time. This is a different level now. This isn't the preseason. And everybody's working to get fit. But we've got to be mentally sharp from day one. And I think this is going to ultimately lead to a better result in Miami. At least that's the hope.
That's so funny. I had the same thought. And the other thing I had on top of that is, okay, you get knocked down a peg. So you're going to be frustrated a little bit heading into week two. On the flip side, you now have a striker who scores a brace on his debut, and we'll talk about him in a second, who is kind of going to be battling for this starting nine spot with Herrera. Herrera has a little bit of a nick, so he didn't get the start. Now Trevor Ammon comes in. He's going to have a ton of confidence. He's going to have a ton of swagger. He's going to be feeling good, which is what you need from a striker. Then you add in Cicerone, who didn't play. You have Luis Felipe, who came off the bench, didn't really quite look himself. Then you have the defense, who's going to be pissed off because they gave up two goals they shouldn't have. To me, it's kind of a perfect recipe going into week two.
Well, and look, Orange County and Sacramento are probably the two best teams in the Western Conference. So it's already going to be a tight game. We said on the broadcast, almost a shame that we're having this game in week one for both teams. But again, it turned out to be a very entertaining game. So yeah, now moving forward and looking at what you're going to have, Trevor Ammon, I mean, oh my gosh, hello. You know, what a debut, right? I mean, Thomas Andy Volson did a brace back in 19. Douglas Martinez really came on strong 22. And so you've had players have fantastic debuts. What I think this does is now gives other teams to go, oh man, this is not the same Republic team. And now you add Russell Cicerone in the mix, who's going to be able to fill in. I mean, there's no reason you can't have two 15-goal scorers on this team this year, especially with Rodrigo Lopez, Christian Pirano dishing here. And this could be an incredibly offensive, potent team. So defensively, I don't think you're worried at all. I just think you have to kind of go back and think about what was the mistake. And I know everyone just focuses on that kick and started to jump around here, but I kind of missed this point. Was, yeah, the second one was brutal. However, 2 minutes before that, we had the ball in the corner and we just sort of lazily played it back, and it was a turnover, and it led to sort of a barrage, and then ultimately led to that corner kick. So if Sacramento is able to pin it in that corner, kill the clock further, they don't even get an opportunity to go down the other part of the field and give that. So that's where you look at tape. And I know it's easy just to look at what happened in the goal, but it was 5 minutes before that, or 2 minutes before that even, that lost the game ultimately for you. And that comes with experience. And there's some younger players in those positions that have to now understand this is how the game was ultimately lost.
Great point in the chat here from Emil, our producer. Only third goalkeeper score in USL Championship history. Obviously, that's a little bit of a knife in the heart to us, but showing that those are incredibly rare, obviously. I was wondering too, Rob, it felt like, and I want to talk about Ammon in a second because he was so good. But I do feel like there was certain times where runs were kind of made with him, with the attacking mids or the wingers and the midfield, where you could tell things weren't quite dialed in. And obviously, it's the first game of the year. You mentioned it kind of feeling like a little like the season hadn't kicked off yet. But what do you think now that he's able to get in with Cicerone, he's going to start to get more comfortable? Do you think that it's going to allow him more confidence and more freeing ability to kind of go make runs? And now he's got this confidence to go with that. That's just a recipe for success.
Well, you hope you build off it, but we talked about in the broadcast. I was actually pleasantly surprised how good the timing was in week one. And for someone who wasn't maybe supposed to start. So I was actually very pleased. He had one offside call, but he was high energy. He was making runs and he forced things to happen. I think on a second goal call, the way he started pausing and pivoting his body, to me, that was a 98% chance that he's going to try to lay that forward and see if he can get something in the middle. And he decided he found an opening, took it himself with his left foot, which I think shocked everyone because I didn't see that coming. You know, we've seen highlights of him, but he can score in a lot of different ways. And I think that is exactly what this team has needed. And they need an all-out striker like this. And as talented as Russell Cicerone, he's not this type of striker. Russell Cicerone is a fantastic attacking player, and I think this is only going to add to that. And now defensively, you're going to have to make some decisions, and that to me is the most exciting part. And if you can get Rafa more comfortable, if you can get Pirano more comfortable, and Sebastian can come back healthy, now you have a nice rotation. If someone does get injured, you have a nice rotation. If things aren't going the way you want in terms of the game plan, maybe, you know, there's a double team happening and they're just not able to get that movement to where they wanted to. But I thought the runs overall were fantastic. Jack Gurr was open several times as well, because toward the end of the game, they had to sort of slide over to Trevor Ammon. So I just think that Ammon had came into this game and maybe he was the only one who expected this type of performance from him, but I think it's going to pay off well into the season here if he can stay healthy.
Made in the Shade Tent Rentals is your number one choice for tent rentals in Sacramento and throughout Northern California. From concerts, festivals, to corporate events, outdoor dining, to private special events, construction, manufacturing, farming, whenever you need shade, whatever the occasion, we've got you covered. Visit MadeShade.com to inquire about the options. That's MadeShade.com.
I mean, that second goal in front of the battalion, in front of that big end line, I mean, just a laser of a strike. I was expecting him to lay it off, like you mentioned. And then for him to just, man, he just smoked it. And then with his off foot, which is even more impressive, obviously, you got to be feeling good. And even the first goal, too, which I thought was remarkable as well. And so I just think, listen, I'm fired up to see what he can do. And now you know, there's not that he had any doubt, but maybe, you know, we were talking about, hey, he did this in League One. Can he step up and do it in the championship? I think he proved Week One. You pretty much, you go in, you win Player of the Week in your first week in USL Championship. You have the brace that is tough to get in a debut. He does that in front of the home fans. I mean, I from his perspective, it's got to be, he's got to be flying high. And you think going into Miami, it's like, all right, how do we continue this going into Week Two?
So I'll put the coach's hat on. As always, the how do you spread love around a little bit. Also give credit. That Christian Pirano service was fantastic. He had several options in the box. He knew where to put it. And then on the flip side, Nick Ross taking that ball and going the other way. I mean, they're both incredible services that ultimately lead to fantastic goals. So to me, you just had a problem in the past of guys not continuing runs. Trevin Ammon does not have that issue. And that is only going to spur other guys to also make runs because they see he's getting goals. It's like, well, I got to do that now. And I think I go back to when Thomas and Evoltsen joined the club and the boost that gave Cameron Awasa because they were now almost in a goal-scoring race on the same team, and that was a huge lift to the club at that time. So I think this is going to be a similar situation, at least that's what we hope, right? And I love what it says on the other side of the pitch here for this club. We already knew we were going to get on the other end. Now, going back to set pieces, okay, you've got to lock it in a little bit. And I'm not going to throw blame around, but who does that fall on? Well, it falls on everyone. But ultimately, you know, Jeremy Mazzola's first game, you know, he's in putting situations. I thought overall he did very well in the game. He actually saved what could have been also an own goal that, you know, was sent back by Jared Timmer. But maybe he wasn't quite sure. Maybe he didn't see, you know, Colin Shuttler coming up. And there's just going to be call-outs that are going to happen. And that's where growth and development comes in. And I don't know if that doesn't happen if Danny Vidiello's in the game. It's hard to say. However, I think there's just some of those. Who is going to take over because Rodrigo Lopez is off the pitch? Who's your mental leader now? And, you know, everyone talks about mental mistakes. Well, the whole 90 minutes is a mental game. I mean, everyone's physically good. So you can't just say, oh, well, we had a mental lapse. Well, you could have mental lapses other places, maybe just didn't hurt you. And that's where this team is, I think, got to just get a little bit stronger is mentally, how do we lock it down? How do we take the ball and put it away? How do we call out the right opportunities that make sure we're marking everyone who's really a threat? Colin Shuttler's probably more of a threat than, you know, Kevin Partida, who's 5'8", right? So right. Understand where your markings need to be and where the priority lies. And if Partida beats you on something, okay, well, that's going to be a once in a lifetime. So, you know, that's where you got to figure out, like, what are your priorities? Mental check them down. Who's that guy to call it out? Credit to Orange County, though, they also went really fast. And that's what happens when you don't take your time in a corner. You just go, go, go. You get good opportunities.
And I like what you mentioned, too, where you talk about a couple minutes before that happened, Sacramento had a chance to kill the clock a little bit and didn't quite do that, had a turnover and then led to that equalizing goal. I wonder if we see Sacramento now make adjustments and if we have a similar situation throughout this year, maybe not every match, but maybe against certain teams where they are going for a goal to put the knife in the heart of the opposing team and to really put the game out of reach. I feel like that was kind of something Sacramento wasn't. They didn't seem quite as aggressive to get that third goal when they were up 2-1. I wonder if theoretically going into the rest of the season or maybe in the next couple of weeks where it's a little more fresh in their mind, if that's something that they look to do more rather than try and lay back. Because we have seen them be successful, lay back and play defensively. But what do you think? You think Sacramento makes any adjustments there? Or is it just something we just got to make adjustments on the set pieces?
Well, I think that's easy to say after a game, right? Because if you open it up and you try to get after goal and you're leaving guys forward, so now you have two or three guys moving forward in a first game where you're probably not fully fit. Most guys shouldn't be playing 90 minutes. I don't know. Then you're saying, well, you should have hung back and not allowed space. So
right.
I think it's easy to go either way on that. I guess that's what sports is all about, right? You come after the game is to talk about what you probably should have done. However, I think it's just being mindful of where to place the ball in certain places. And I don't think you had the personnel with injuries, suspensions, and the like to go and maybe get that third goal. Obviously, you're going to try to get it. I also think Orange County was just playing a little more frantic and was just trying to pressure and enforce mistakes. And so they just kind of dug a little deeper at the end and ultimately found a way. So again, I know I feel like every draw feels like a loss in the Republic Kingdom, but yeah, I mean, look, you got a point there in the first game. You should have won. Sure. but you didn't lose. And now you have two on the road and you're going to come back again to finish the month out at home. So if you look at the schedule, and it's easy to do that and say, wow, could we start off with unbeaten through nine like we did last year? Probably. So let's turn, you know, turn the focus on that and say, okay, let's, we learned from that. We know that we got to do better communicating here. Overall, they dominated the ball. That was one of the better possession games we've seen from Sacramento, sure, especially against Orange County in the last several years I can remember. So I think that the overall style was there. There were just a few lapses, and that's what Mark talked about going into this year, is that they've got to be sharp the whole time through. It's really difficult to do. Every team who wins doesn't always do that. So you just got to find a way and understand that if you come to the substitute, you've got to raise the game. You've got to raise the level. And I think that's where the other mental part comes in, is that you're not just coming in to fill out 15 minutes. Make an impact.
Trevor Hammond, quickly, you mentioned a couple of notable club debuts. Amy Boltson in 2019, a brace versus Colorado. Mark Douglas Martinez, a goal and assist in 2022. Tucker Bone had a game winner after entering in the 80th minute in his debut. And this one's got to rank pretty high in terms of just individual performances. Obviously being a debut, but you got, you know, Cicerone's hat trick, Vidiello in the semifinal of the Open Cup, Tommy Stewart, Rodrigo Lopez each had hat tricks in 2014. Villian Bijev had 12 shots in a game in 2018. It's still the most in a single match in U.S. So it's like, where does this map up? It's a pretty impressive performance for Trevor Hammond. We talked about him a lot. But does that change the mentality for you, Rob, in terms of the nine position with Herrera, who kind of starting off the year a little hurt? Does it now become, hey, for at least the time being, now it is Ammon's job, and Herrera's going to have to figure out how to break into the lineup if once he gets healthy?
We've talked about that before. Opportunities are, you know, won and lost. They're not, jobs aren't taken away. And I think that's the point here, is that Herrera didn't lose his job, but the opportunity came for Trevor Ammon, and I think he has it. And I think we'd have to question Mark and the staff seriously if Trevor Ammon isn't starting on Saturday.
Right.
Right. I mean, this is a guy who had a brace and is up. So, you know, who does that leave off the 11 that currently started last week? Well, that's for up them to decide, but you're probably going to have Ammon and Cicerone. So does that leave Pirano or Rafa up top, and everyone else probably stays the same? You know, Nick Ross again is asked to do a lot right now. And what you saw was a lot of switching of positions. We did not see this much rotation happening in 2023, but because I think the current personnel, without Luis Felipe, without Arnold Lopez right now, that's what you're going to have to do, but maybe that's also what they want to do. So credit to Nick Ross. We didn't see him get his forward as much, but he still had a huge impact and ultimately leads to a goal. So if you have Nick there and the other five, and then you continually to look, you're probably going to have Rodrigo Lopez, and then either that's going to be Pirano or Rafa at this point in time. And so until you think, well, Luis Felipe would be good in that spot, and you move Rafa up, and then that means someone else is coming off the bench. But again, I think it gives you a lot of different looks, and to me, that's really positive. And I think Christian Pirano looked incredibly fit. I think that he looked as good as he had been all season long. I don't think he was ever fully in game shape, just because of the start and stops coming midway through. He looked fantastic, and I love it. We talked about it on the broadcast. He gets fouled, and he continues to go. How many players at the highest levels just stop? He does it, and sometimes the official will swallow the whistle, and now he's got a breakaway, and you've caught the rest of the opponents off guard, and he has an opportunity to make something happen. So that's what I love about him. He's horrible to defend against, and he's going to give opportunities to others. And I think that's what makes these championship teams, is that you have these roles and people can make other people more dangerous. And that's what we saw glimpses of on Saturday night, and hope to see that more forward. So when you look at striker and where people are starting, it's not just, can you get a goal or can you get an assist? It's, can you make the other teammates of yours better and more dangerous? And that to me is a sign of a great team that ultimately can win a trophy at the end of the year.
Opening night was a sellout, obviously. Great crowd at Hard Health Park on Saturday night. Quickly, Emil, great job on our production team by doing this. Opening nights, Rob, we're going to have you rank your favorite since you've done all of these. At least I assume. Okay. Maybe one of these was on the road. Okay, I'll start with 2014. Yeah. Hughes match, 2-1 loss versus Harrisburg City. 2015 3-1 win versus LA Galaxy 2, goal and assist from Rodrigo Lopez and Emre Clemente. 2016 1-0 win versus Phoenix, an 84th minute game winner by Cam Awasa. 2017 4-0 win versus Orange County.
These are all home openers because I think we opened 15 in Seattle. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we did all these.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. 2-1 win in 2018 versus San Antonio. 1-1 draw against Real Monarchs in 2019. A 1-1 draw versus Tulsa in 2020. I think Skunderich scored that game. 2021 3-1 win versus Vegas. And then 2022, the comeback win versus El Paso last year, which I remember very fondly, down to 10 men and get a draw versus Charleston. Which one stands out to you?
Well, I think 14's a big one just because it was just so shocking to see so many people. And I don't think people even remember who we played that night, to be honest, which is crazy because we played in the championship later that year. I think the atmosphere was fantastic. Yeah, I think they've been very successful. I thought the comeback win for El Paso was really strong. Charleston, I think at the time felt disappointing but we didn't realize how good they were. You know, they turned out to be a really good team last year. I think the others, I don't know if they really stand out because I think 16, you felt like there was going to be a good team, but Orange County wasn't, or Phoenix, you know, was a good win. I think to me, when you look at the history, I would say back to 14, and I really like 2022's comeback win. I thought they just kind of put a stamp, but to me, I guess it goes back to just it's the start of the season. It always feels fresh and new, and it's sort of the anticipation of what's to come. So think about a single match and go, well, I love that one, or this one. I don't know. I think it's so hard because I think it's toward the end of the year you really start to fall in love with a match or not.
No, it's a great point. I agree. And also, I'm thinking about, I can remember the El Paso and the Charleston one and the Tulsa one, and that's about it.
Tulsa was the COVID, since I've been though, around
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, Tulsa was a late draw, and that felt, you know, but it's like, okay, we got a draw, blah, 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 and you know, Skunder scored the goal in that one, but, you know, then I think the whole season changed. So that was sadly the best game of the season because it was a packed house, and then we didn't have a single fan the rest of the way, which was just awful. That was the worst season to do it, but, you move on.
All right, last thing before we get going. We talked about Cicerone being back week two, coming off the red card suspension, which I don't think a lot of fans knew about coming into this game. I got a lot of, why isn't Cicerone playing, questions. For those who don't know, got a red card post-match in the Western Conference Final last year that he had to pay. And I think he was as frustrated about that as anybody from what I heard. But he's back for week two. We talk about going to Miami and going to Indy the next 2 weeks. How does his addition to this attack, how does that change things for Republic going into these next couple weeks?
Depends on how Mark wants to play on the road. You know, I think they proved well last year on the road. I wasn't obviously dumb as they were at home, but they had a winning record on the road. And I think they played a certain style and they ultimately went to get points, right? It wasn't always all out try to get something. I think this is a hard travel. You're going all the way to Miami and then you're coming back and going all the way to Indianapolis. So I think they could try to maybe save some guys. So I don't think they'll be as aggressive as they are going to be at home. And I think that's true of most of the league. So, you know, could we see another drop potentially? But I think with Cicerone back, it's going to open up lanes, as we talked about, and ultimately maybe more scoring opportunities than maybe you would if you didn't have Trevor Ammon or Russell Cicerone paired together. And I'd imagine they're going to be paired together, and it's going to be quite fun to see how Miami stacks up. Miami got a massive win. You see Jairo Enriquez almost score a couple good goals for them, or excuse me, for Colorado Springs, but didn't pan out for switchbacks. So I think Miami's got to be feeling pretty good. Whole new coach, almost the entire new team there. They've got a revamped outlook. So they'll kind of see what they can do in week two against Sacramento. And they're going to be feeling confident. This is not going to be last year's Miami team. And this is going to be a big challenge for Sacramento to go and get a result.
Cicerone, 6 goals in 8 games against Miami in his career. So that's something to keep an eye on. I wanted to ask quickly, we didn't have it on our notes here, but you think we see Vitiello back in the lineup, starting lineup Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Jared proved well. So it just depends on whether he's healthy or not. Right. I think it's going to be all health related for all these guys.
I mean, the first goal, he made a pretty awesome save on the basically what was like a Zlatan type strike off the side of the foot, which is pretty impressive. Made that save, and unfortunately went off the post and back in for an easy goal. But I thought for the most part, he looked pretty solid back there.
Yeah, I mean, right. And it just, the gap is Seth Kasipley just found a way to kind of get around. And there was, you know, kind of some really nice ability by Orange County to even get a foot on that ball. But overall, I thought Jared did really well. I mean, that's a tough debut. You know, you're nervous. It's not easy to come to a situation. And, you know, it kind of just happens on two kicks. But I think he did his job in between the posts. And it's time to move on and see what you can get in this next stretch.
So Saturday night, 4 p.m. Pacific time against Miami FC will be on Fox40.com and Antenna before being back on main Fox 40 next Saturday for Indy. Back with Adam Moffitt this weekend. Rob, you fired up to be with him again?
Yeah, you know, Adam's just become a legend. It's interesting to see, you know, a lot of popular players, but every time we go to a home match, how many people just adore Adam Moffitt still? And, you know, it's... he's just such a quality person, and I think people have always gravitated to that, and he's just been a huge part of the Sacramento soccer community as well, and he might be one of the most popular players ever, and, you know, and we joke about it, but how much was he injured? You know, it's not like he had 50 goals in the club, you know? So it goes to show that you just talk about he's a fantastic broadcast partner, and I would never say this to his face, but, you know, it's a great time to be with him every single week because he always brings something new and light and makes it fun, and he just knows the game so well, and I think he's one of those people that all of his teammates just loved playing with him, and so it's always fun to have someone like that on the broadcast, and so I feel very fortunate to have that and that partnership with him, and I guess we're year 4 or 5, so it's kind of crazy to think that we just keep chugging along here. So
number one USL championship broadcast.
That's right, right. Yes.
Bring it back home. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Rob McCallum, well, we'll see it this year. It's a new season, right? So.
That's right. Well, hey, I think we had a pretty good viewership Saturday. So that's good news. That's good news.
Okay.
So.
Keep moving on up. All right. Well, thanks, Carl. I appreciate the time. And yeah, here we go. Week 2 now.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Our thanks to Rob McAllister for taking time out of the week to talk to us going into Saturday's match as the Republic will take on Miami FC in Miami. It's a 4 p.m. kick Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch the match on ESPN+, or if you want to listen to Rob and Adam, as you should, you can go to Fox40.com, download the Fox 40 app on your mobile device, or also on Antenna TV 40.2. This podcast was produced by Emil Guzman. We thank you for the support. You can also catch this episode on YouTube if you want to watch it. And as always, go Republic!